Broadcasting from Sunset Station in Las Vegas, Nevada, the UFO Files. We have Stephen Bassett here, our old friend. Stephen, we made it through the election. We're ready to roll with a new convention for you, huh? You got it set up again in April?
Yeah. X-Conference has been booked again for the Hilton Gaithersburg, April 22, 24 next year.
The only reason I mentioned the election because you ran for office one time.
Well, it was 2002, yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's funny you mention that because, as I mentioned in a keynote that I gave here last night, the banquet at the Crash Retrieval Conference, in 2002, I was able to get on the ballot through signature process, right? And there were three candidates, Connie Morella, Van Hollen, Chris Van Hollen, and myself, and I was talking about the ET issue and the cover-up. So that was kind of a first. The only other
If I remember, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but you actually got Connie Morella to at least understand about UFOs. You brought it up in a press conference, didn't you?
No, I brought it up in a
debate.
They had to respond to the question, but they responded very carefully.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't a direct debate. These are the debates now, you know how they are.
They ask a question, somebody responds.
The point is that I didn't embarrass them, and they didn't embarrass me. That's fine, and it was on regional television. Mm-hmm. It was really the only other person that's ever been on a national ballot that's talked about UFOs that I'm aware of is Carter. And while he talked about it, I think, and answered some questions during the campaign, he certainly didn't bring it up during the debates. But he did, so he would have to be the first. And I used to say I was the first. I think I may be the first in a congressional election.
Well, I'm sure you are.
But I mentioned all this, Jerry, because in this election, six candidates, all either Democratic or Republican candidates, not independent or third party, discussed the UFO question with some openness and answered some questions. Yeah.
Wow.
Even said that if they were getting to Congress, they'd support getting information out to the public and going for records. And this was was most prominently noted on the Rich McConnell show, who does the Exxon show. So that's six. I was the first, and now I'm six this time. Who knows? Maybe 36 next time.
Yeah, we're talking with Steve Bassett, the Pace Setter here. Tell me a little bit what you have planned on this conference coming up in April. The same place you had it last time, right?
Yeah, I'm really excited because last year we learned from our mistakes from last year. We had too many lectures crammed too tight together, too many tracks. This year is going to be a three-day conference, not a two-day. It's going to be just two tracks. We're going to have 16 lectures and three panel discussions and then 10 second presentations, probably mostly Q&A. None of the lectures will overlap. In other words, one can go for 16 lectures without overlapping anything else, any other lecture, so they can see a lecture from each of the 16. We may have an additional 7 or 8 panelists because we're going to have 3 very good panels.
Do you have a focus this year?
Well, the themes are being developed.
Okay.
But the focus will again be exopolitics, meaning the terrestrial, governmental documents, cover-up, political stuff that's all surrounding us since 1947, as opposed to phenomenology, meaning, you know, look at this cattle mutilation, look at that crop circle. That's not what the X-Conference does.
I notice you talk about disclosure. We talked about whether or not the president would do anything. He didn't, naturally. Mm-hmm. But what do you think? You haven't given up on that, have you?
No. There have been some developments in the last few months that are interesting. I can't talk about them, really.
That's too bad.
I've been contacted. I've had a meeting. Another meeting's being set up. I've talked to somebody else. There seems to be a number of whistleblowers that may be emerging soon here. There's some movement going on. I'm getting a feedback from various other researchers that they sense something. But right now, it's mostly just a visceral sense,
mm-hmm.
you know. But it's not impossible that George is going to be the disclosure president. And one of the reasons might be that while he had, you know, he may have been far more suitable to the military intelligence people than Clinton was. When he came into office the first time, he had no mandate at all. He came in really in an extremely weak situation. Made strong by 9/11, which of course also distracted government from anything like this. I mean, we've been at war for 3 years or whatever you want to call it. But now he has a 52% vote. He has 6 million people voting for him. There's a mandate there. It may clear the way for them to end the cover-up. So maybe that's what we're picking up. Don't know for sure. But on the other hand, if you look at his policies in the first administration, they don't seem conducive to open government or telling the public deep secrets. So we're still reading the tea leaves here.
Well, you're right there in the area where that could be made news-wise for disclosure. Last year, you made a few headlines with the Dr. Burrish thing.
Well, the Burrish case, possible whistleblower, mm-hmm. extremely complicated. Mm-hmm. That was interesting. We had the Mexico tapes that were passed to Jaime Maussan, Mexico City, from the Mexican Air Force. That was very interesting. We had some developments in UK. I think some new documents kind of came out there. Nothing major, but it was noted. There's a substantial UFO flap going on in Canada. Their sighting levels are up, and there's I think there's a UFO flap in India going on right now. So things never really stop. I mean, it just keeps on going. But as you know, politics in America right now is in a very strange place, highly partisan. Washington is in a strange place, which not that it isn't always in some places that I'm not crazy about. Two-party system, not crazy about it right now. It's not functioning well. Nevertheless, to some degree, these issues of disclosure reside behind the presidency and the Congress in the hands of some of the deep managers and intel people. And if they just come to a conclusion that needs to go forward, then they may very well advise the executive to proceed. And the executive may take their advice.
I know you have a tight schedule, so I'm going to let you go in just a second. But
we got a little time.
What about the whole prospect of disclosure and UFOs in general? In other words, it seems to me you can talk about UFOs a little more out front. You mentioned six congressmen.
Well, yeah, of course. There's no question you can. Yet that there are times when but still. Very frequently, it's awkward and people can't deal with it.
And do you see that changing or what?
Sure.
Seems to me about disclosure the problem, besides saying, hey, we've been hiding this from you, which is pretty obvious. And we talked about this in the past,
yeah.
So you can lay it off on dead people now. Or pretty close. We're getting pretty close.
Oh yeah. Well, most of it can be laid off on dead people. But again, I that's not an issue for me. I think the issue is really generally the government looking good in general, not specific individuals taking the hits. It's also about future, forward looking. But there is enough indication that we could still have movement. And we could have something break here very soon, because it's not totally in the hands of the government. The media could still well make an aggressive move on this. Peter Jennings has a documentary company that's been going around the country. They've filmed several hundred hours of interviews, including myself.
Yeah.
Just about everybody you would want to know in the field.
Right.
That's coming out in May.
We were in Roswell. We were there too.
Yeah. So that's coming out in May. Now, and if it comes out on ABC, that's an indication that, again, a new level has been reached. I think one of the NPR programs, Weekend America, was going to come in here and tape. Now, they may have changed their mind, but they contacted me. Inevitably, we'll continue to get a little more and a little more and a little more. It's not soon enough. I think this issue should have been resolved some time ago. We have a lot of pressing problems in the world, and I think it's important that everybody in the world know that, yeah, we are part of a galaxy with lots of other beings in it, so that we can factor that into our thinking as we make decisions about all these other crises. But that's a pretty profound piece of information to be missing.
Do you still have your PAC or your
group? Oh yeah.
Yeah. So you're still doing some lobbying.
Well, I've been trapped. I've been out trying to raise money for Paradigm Research Group.
Mm-hmm.
We need major backers so the Paradigm Research Group can function at the highest level. We can have this X conference done right and build a bigger financial base. I'm really trying to get underwriters now. I haven't changed over to a 501(c) yet, but we're certainly thinking about that. Might do that very soon. XPAC is able to take funds at any time. I mean, $5,000 up to $5,000 a year from any American citizen. And as those monies are available, we do more. I do more things. But right now, particularly because I've had to travel, because I've been in that mode, and because of the huge the huge draw on public's attention and media and everything else that the war and the Iraq has caused, it's been difficult to operate at the level that I would like. But that could change very soon.
Now, what's your feeling? You've been out making a tour, as you say. Raising funds, among other things.
Yeah, I've been in about 7 or 8 states.
Right. And you've been talking to anybody and everybody in the UFO community. What's your feel about all of these people? Are we getting along, or is there some factions? We're famous for having factions.
But I'll tell you, I see far more cooperation. I see a lot of goodwill. These conferences are continuing to grow in numbers. Quality. A new FOC was held at the 4-star Renaissance in Hollywood. That's not exactly a fish palace.
I wanted to make that, but I couldn't. Did you get some Hollywood people to show up there?
Dean Haglund, one of the lone gunmen off the X-Files, was there, and connected up with him, had a great chat. Might get him out to my conference, you never know. Dan Aykroyd, you know, is now a spokesperson for MUFON. And there were a couple of, I think, Hollywood people who kind of came in, the low profile. Next time around, I think we may see more interaction there. But that conference is now a permanent fixture. It's going to be held there every year. And then, of course, the Bay Area was held at the four-star, I think, Marriott, if I'm not mistaken. Marriott or Westin. The speakers having a great time, and they have a nice food and banquet, and there's a lot of interaction behind the scenes. So, this is not the ufology of 1955 or 65, I can tell you that. And generally on the internet and on the list that I get frequent emails from, I'm seeing a lot less fighting and nastiness. So perhaps we're moving in the right direction.
Now, they can check on our website. We have a link to all your websites. You still have your lobbying or your PAC, and in Paradigm, that's Paradigm.
Well, the main portal,
yeah.
ParadigmClock.com.
Right. And then, of course, you have a setup coming up. I don't know if it's up yet or not about the conference. I think it is.
The conference site is up.
Right.
The full 205 conference site is up.
Right.
All
right.
That's missing from it. I mean, it has a registration section, and download registration forms, all that kind of stuff being purchased online. But all that's missing is the speaker lineup. I've designed it, and all the slots are there, but I have to put the speakers into them. And this is a tricky process. I've got to assemble a group and around certain themes and so forth that works. And that will take another couple of weeks. And then suddenly those will go up. So most people are kind of holding off, and they don't want to register to kind of see who's speaking when, and I understand that. But we're hoping to see a very large crowd next year because
it's
important.
You actually had a fairly good crowd last year, just not enough.
Certainly larger than average, 550 paid,
right,
and another
right.
100 press and VIPs and speakers. Mm-hmm. So it's great energy. We can handle easily 800. So if we had that kind of turnout, then PRGs and the conference would be really solid. And we may have that. But again, it depends on circumstances. I mean, we're now in quite unpredictable times. Very strange times. Anything could happen the next day. You don't know what to expect from one day to the next.
True. Stephen, I always love talking to you about these things. And something I missed that you want to bring out?
Let's see. I think that's maybe another event.
That's kind of my trick question. See, that way I don't have to be a prober.
I'm trying to think. I know that, like I mentioned, that Signs of Destiny is a conference coming up next weekend. That's down in Tempe. That's Chet Snow's operation. Signs of Destiny 2, I think. You can Google that and get the info on that. I know Chet would love to have people come down. That's in Tempe. Very nice location coming up. And, of course, Laughlin International UFO Conference coming up in March of next year. That needs support. This is kind of the slower season, right?
Yeah, getting ready to go down to the holidays. Extended little E.T. is going to be looking for the guy in the red suit and the white beard.
Right. The friendly E.T.
Yeah.
Beyond that, I think that people need to keep their eyes and ears open for some possible developments soon. Again, I suspect something's going on, so I ask people to be alert here that they may suddenly see some breaking stuff on this issue, and if they do, they need to get excited about it. We need to generate some energy.
Yeah, I kind of feel that too from the people I've talked to. They don't give me a lot of details. Maybe the details aren't there yet. That may be it.
No, there's a formula thing. Remember, the new president's only been elected for about a week. The transition process is underway. It'll be easier than a party change transition. And so the second term is there. Remember, the second term is a lame term. Right now, obviously, the Republicans want to win again in 2008. That's a given. But they have 4 years now. They already have their people in. If you were going to make George Bush the disclosure president, this would be the time to do it. Right? Iraq or no Iraq. In fact, obviously, one can make a case that it would dramatically improve the ability to deal with the Iraq issue, since it would drag tremendous public attention away from the Iraq issue and allow perhaps administration to proceed to policies with less scrutiny. But point is, you move to disclosure early, and that gives the president an entire 4 years to manage the post-disclosure world and ensure that it goes the way they want it to go. And I'm just speaking pragmatically here. I mean, this is not necessarily I'm not trying to advise them. I'm just saying that this pragmatically, this is what you would probably do. So the idea of George Bush being the disclosure president, thus ensuring a legacy that will be forever, and be part of one, again, I think the most profound secular event in history, is certainly possible. And as I've said before, the pressure and the cover-up will not stop. The people here at this conference in Vegas, the Majestic, the Crash Retrieval Conference, more information coming out, more elucidation on various crash retrievals. I'm getting new information. It's not going to stop. We're not going to retire from this. We're going to continue to bring this out and bring it out and bring it out until the pressure on the gap between the government's position and the obvious reality will become intolerable. They're going to have to end it. So in my opinion, why wait for that? Why not be proactive? Why not say come to the public and say, look, you need to know this. We need to finally tell you this. It's the right time, and we're doing the right thing, as opposed to being driven to it by some investigative reporters at the New York Times or something. I mean, that's how I'd approach it. They're going to come out of it a lot better if they do that. So I'm ready for George Bush, the disclosure president.
Stephen Bass, it's always a pleasure having you on. Good luck with the conference. Second time, second annual. This was a second annual conference, too, it seems like.
Exactly, exactly. And then the X-Conference, and this is the closest conference in tone and in approach to the X-Conference of all the others. Not that the others aren't fine, they are fine. So we got a nice little Las Vegas, Washington, D.C. area combo, November, April, that the people on both coasts can get access to, that deals with the terrestrial side of this, what I call the lies on the ground, that will help us resolve this issue.
Yeah, that's the, and not that I'm not interested in the other part of it, but that's, I'd like to be able to knock on one of those ETs and have a guy open the door, you know?
Well, that could happen someday too, but before that, the government's going to have to open its door, because the ETs aren't coming down yet. They're perfectly happy, apparently, to just fly around or do their business. Since I don't know what they're going to do, I'm going to try to get our government to do what it should do.
Thank you very much, Stephen Bassett. Always a pleasure.
Cheers.
It's Jerry Pippen with the UFO Files. Hey, appreciate you taking time.
You got quite a few interviews, right?
Yeah.
How could you not?
It's a great location, all the guys.
Okay.